I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We are live at the Canadian Embassy on Pennsylvania Avenue, just steps from the National Mall. Coming up on a day like today, it is hard to imagine that some 40 years ago, racial segregation was alive and well in this country, and black and white drank from separate water fountains, attended separate schools, and sat separately on public transportation. In a minute, I talk to two men, one black, one white, who put their lives on the line to change all that. But first, we're going to check in with reporters to hear about how people from around the world are experiencing this event. The bustling U Street corridor here in Washington, D.C. has a special place in African American culture. The neighborhood is home to the legendary Lincoln Theater. Just a few blocks away sits the Bohemian Caverns, a jazz nightclub made famous in the 1960s. The area is also known as a staging ground for the Civil Rights Movement, and it made news on election night when crowds descended on U Street to celebrate Barack Obama's victory. NPR's Allison Keyes is on U Street now. Hello, Allison. How are you, other than cold?
Girl, I have been out here since 6 o'clock this morning. It is too cold. Too cold, but it's fabulous.
What's fabulous about it?
Actually, I have to say, there are not crowds out here today, per se. In fact, it's rather a ghost town, although there have been hordes of groups of people on their way to the metro, because most of the people in this neighborhood are going to the mall.
How can you tell they're going to the mall? Do they have their regalia, their Obama regalia in full effect?
People are wearing Obama socks, Obama hats, Obama gloves, Obama scarves. I actually talked to a brother who was selling Obama posters down the street, and he's actually lovely. He drove up from Dallas, Texas, and he said that today feels like a new year for him. He says that he wants to Obama his situation, which he says means take control of the opportunities he has, and he can't wait to get started. There have been a lot of people out on U Street over the last couple of nights. In fact, I hear it's been a zoo, and I'm standing outside of a place called Station 9 that's hosting a watch party. They're expecting 100 people in here to watch the inauguration on big screen TVs.
And also, I noticed on my way in to town myself that there were some rather remarkable and creative decorations going on with the Obama theme. What have you seen?
I have seen everything from bobbleheads. There was a woman out on the mall yesterday with the best I can do is say it's one of those rugs, you know, the kind you see being sold from vans in some neighborhoods. This huge, giant, 100-foot square rug with Obama and Martin Luther King figuratively holding hands that she had commissioned by somebody, she said, in Chicago. People are wearing every possible piece of Obama attire, except for one brother I talked to from Jamaica, Christopher Johnson. He said he didn't need to wear 50 Obama buttons because people knew where his heart is just because he's a black man and he's proud to be here today.
Okay, and so do I hear that you're going to be doing some shopping for your apartment, Allison, that there's some...
I think my parents have actually bought all the Obama paraphernalia possible in my apartment. I'm not sure there is room for anything else because they're buying, like so many other people I've spoken to, for a lot of people that couldn't make it here today. So my mother has 30 buttons. She has replicas of tickets for people in Florida and Chicago that couldn't make it here. A lot of people out on the mall and along U Street have been telling me the same thing because everybody wants to be a part of this in some way.
And finally, are folks gathering at specific landmarks like Ben's Chili Bowl, the local diner that Obama visited recently? Do you see a rush toward the Chili Bowl?
They have had lines around the block for the last couple of days. I was out in front of there at about 7 o'clock this morning where there was a small line, and actually a group of German tourists who don't speak English that were posing in front of the sign that was lovely. Although they are geared up for a huge crowd of people today, they opened at about 7:15 and already had a huge line of people in there buying breakfast, half smokes, and having a great time. Hilariously, back in 2001, Ben's Chili Bowl actually said they didn't want inauguration business at that time because they were much more interested in the average customer who supports us every day.
Well, how things change. Well, save us a chili dog.
Absolutely.
That was NPR's Allison Keyes reporting from U Street here in Washington, D.C. Now we're going to travel across the globe to Kenya. Barack Obama is a source of inspiration in his father's homeland, Kenya. His election victory prompted the Kenyan government to declare a national holiday. NPR's East Africa correspondent Gwen Tompkins is in Nairobi, and she joins us by phone. Gwen, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us.
Hi, Michelle. So nice to talk to you. I'm actually not in Nairobi right now. I'm actually in southwestern Kenya at the ancestral homeland of Barack Obama's father. This is right near the shores of Lake Victoria. I'm actually sitting in a cornfield looking at a scene that I am having a hard time really believing. This is normally a very sleepy farming village, essentially, you know, where there are more bicycles than cars, where there's no electricity or very little electricity. And now it looks as if there's a country fair going on before my very eyes. There's a traffic jam. There are motorcycles and cars and trucks everywhere. You know, there are people, hundreds and hundreds of people who are on a staging ground here, and they are having a wonderful time. You know, some are playing soccer, some are listening to plays that are taking place. There's a comedy routine going on here, and there's a lot of business going on, a lot of trade.
How are folks going to monitor the inauguration? Is there any way set up to them to watch the swearing in, or are people just are partying knowing that it's going on?
Well, you know, yes, there have been plans to put in a television set later on today so that the people here can see the inauguration. There was a television set that was placed here actually on Election Day, but I think the one today is going to be even bigger. There are also public television screenings that are going to be taking place in Nairobi as well as in Kisumu, which is the regional capital of this area. So people are expected to come out en masse and to enjoy what they see. You know, it's an extraordinary moment here. Everyone has been following this race very, very closely. They were, of course, thrilled by the result of the election. And every day, you know, Barack Obama, the president-elect, and his family have been on the front pages of every newspaper in this country. And in fact, over the weekend, one newspaper ran 37 pages of information about Barack Obama, his family, his former speeches. They went all the way back to the speech that he made at the Democratic National Convention when John Kerry was running for president. It's pretty amazing.
Today the celebration, tomorrow when we talk to you next, we'll ask you about the concrete expectations that East Africans and Kenyans may have for Barack Obama. But we'll save that for the next time we talk. NPR's East Africa correspondent Gwen Tompkins, thanks so much.
That sounds great. Thank you, Michelle.
And now we're going to go to New York, where NPR's correspondent Robert Smith joins us from Harlem, the mecca of black culture in New York. It's the home of the Harlem Renaissance, an explosion of African-American music, art, and literature in the 1920s and 30s. Some 80 years later, Harlem remains the symbolic heart of black New York, and Robert joins us from the Harlem Armory. Welcome, Robert. Thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here. As you can tell, they're tuning up for a big show.
And actually, I can't tell because you may hear that the helicopters that are circling overhead here, so it's quite a lot going on here, too. Why are you at the Armory, Robert? What makes that setting special?
Well, I'll tell you, it's all set around this tiny little charter school called Democracy Prep. And they're right in the center of Harlem, and they have spent the entire year studying this election. They did get out the vote stuff. They did public forums previously to the election. They followed all the results on Election Day, and their big dream was to go to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration. For money reasons, logistic reasons, it didn't happen. So the kids decided they were going to throw the biggest party in New York City. So they rented the Harlem Armory. It seats 7,000 people here, and they invited, about 5,000 of their closest school friends from about 40 different schools. The buses are going to come in here in about a half an hour or so, and they're going to do a whole program. They're going to watch the speech, obviously. They're going to watch the swearing in, but they're also going to sing and dance. We saw step groups were practicing earlier, choirs were practicing. It's going to be a big, loud 8th grade party here.
It sounds great, and we're sorry that we're missing it, but we're glad you're there. But Robert, as we were talking about with Gwen Tompkins in Kenya earlier, today is a great day of celebration for many people. But are there concrete expectations that people have, the people that you're talking to, about what they hope an Obama administration will bring?
Well, you know, it's funny because it's being put on by 8th graders, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and talking to these kids, remember, this is really their first inauguration they've paid attention to, that they remember. Their expectations are, they really don't have them. They don't know how it's going to work and how long the speech is going to be and that sort of things. And in terms of the administration, I think that the I think that the kids, at least the older ones, the eighth graders, have a fairly realistic sense. I mean, when you first talk to them, they will talk about, dreams of unity and progress and change and all of that. But when you actually talk to them about, look, this guy could disappoint you. You know that, don't you? You kind of hate to tell a kid that, but you have to warn them. And they're like, oh, absolutely. You know, mistakes happen. They've studied American history. They know the way this works. And they just have this fairly realistic, I would say, expectations that this is a president. It isn't the answer to all the problems, but they're at least hopeful. I guess we'll put it that way, right?
But now what really matters, Robert, do they think he's cool?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what they're looking forward to here, is just a huge party. They're just going to be absolutely loud and screaming. And, you know, I talked to two of the kids. I talked to two of the kids, Zaire Taylor and Christopher Franco of eighth grade. I'm just going to play a little bit of these guys.
It's important that we all share this feeling together, that this feeling of joy, because we're going to have a new black president, and we know that there's going to be some changes made throughout history now.
I want to take home the joy and feeling that now things are going to be much better and safe, and you don't have to worry about a lot, but you still have to contribute to what's going on.
Zaire Taylor and Christopher Franco, eighth graders here at Democracy Prep. They're one of the few of the people putting on this big party here.
That's wonderful. NPR's Robert Smith reporting from the Harlem Armory in New York City. Thank you, Robert.
You're welcome.
Now we're going south, where we hope it's a little warmer than it is here. Tanya Ott of NPR member station WBHM is joining us from Birmingham, Alabama, where the mayor has declared a citywide holiday. Birmingham, of course, is the site of an infamous church bombing and the city where African-American protesters were hit with high-pressure water from fire hoses. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. spent time in jail there and helped organize a historic battle against segregation in the city. Today, people, though, are gathering to celebrate the inauguration of our first African-American president, Barack Obama. Tanya, hello.
Hi, Michelle. You caught us right as the speaker started talking, so we've got a lot of cheering in the background. Hopefully you can hear me okay.
I can hear you okay.
Good. You know, it's not as warm as one would think in Alabama right now. Actually, folks were lined up outside Boutwell Auditorium all morning, braving some pretty chilly temperatures. Probably not as bad as up there, but, you know,
we do what we have to do. Is there a lot of excitement?
There is a whole lot of excitement. We're at Boutwell right now. It seats about 6,000 people. We've got 1,000 or so in here already. Of course, the festivities have just begun, but folks are out here in their Obama T-shirts with their buttons on and their hats on, and they're preparing for a day of activities that includes speeches and Birmingham City school kids performing music and dance. So there's a lot of excitement in the air right now.
Who are we hearing from now? Who's talking now? And what other kinds of speakers are you expecting to hear from later today?
Well, right now we have just a welcoming statements from some local media folks and a representative from the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute. A little bit later today, we are going to have a tribute to Reverend Fred Shuttlesworth, who many say is one of the unsung heroes of the civil rights movement. He's, of course, well known here in Birmingham. Mr. Shuttlesworth was the individual that invited Martin Luther King Jr. to come down here and launch what was called the Birmingham Campaign, and you alluded to that in your setup segment. Just four blocks from this site is Kelly Ingram Park, where one of the most notable civil rights protests occurred in the 1960s. It was 1963, and that was the riot when the Bull Connor turned the fire water hoses and police dogs on children that were demonstrating for civil rights, and that happened just four blocks from here. And Mr. Shuttlesworth, who will be commemorated or talked about later today, he was one of the organizing people behind that.
I understand that you're at Boutwell Auditorium. Do I have it right that it was named for a segregationist mayor?
Yeah. It's actually an interesting history. You know, I talked about Bull Connor, who, of course, is famous as a very, very violent, some would say, segregationist. Mr. Connor ran against Alfred Boutwell, who Boutwell Auditorium is named for. And Mr. Boutwell also was a segregationist, just not as sort of high key as Bull Connor. So there's a certain amount of irony or justice in the fact that we've got this inaugural celebration today for Mr. Obama in an auditorium named for a former Birmingham mayor who was himself a segregationist.
And finally, Tanya, we are drawing these connections between the events of today and the events of the past, but what about the folks you're talking to? Do they see resonance in the conjoining of these events in this place, in this time?
Absolutely. I talked to a woman named Bertha Nettles Jones, who is herself biracial. Her father was Welsh and African American, and there's a little bit of Cherokee mixed in there. And she talked about her first encounters with discrimination and segregation in the 1960s in Lower Alabama. She talked about having to drink out of a black water fountain versus a white water fountain in Mobile, and about the progress that's been made here in the South. And so she is just so excited to be here today because her granddaughter is with her passing out flags while her her daughter is serving in the military in Qatar. And so it's a really, really important day for many people in this auditorium.
Tanya Ott of NPR member station WBHM joined us from Birmingham, Alabama, where it is not as warm as we hoped that it was. We were hoping to live vicariously through you, Tanya. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Now we're going to go to a member of our Tell Me More production team, Irva Gunja, who's out on the National Mall. Irva, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. And what are you seeing out there now?
Well, we're about right in the middle of the mall, so halfway between the U.S. Capitol and the National Monument, and it is very crowded. People are very excited, and we've been talking to people who are here from every corner of the country, so it's really kind of amazing.
Well, what are some of the stories you've heard?
Well, we've been talking to a lot of elderly African-American people who've traveled here from everywhere, from Indiana, from Florida, some close, even from Pittsburgh, and they're just talking about how they remember living in a time when things were very segregated in the country. They never thought they would live to see this day, and they're just so excited to be here today. Everyone has said they would never have missed this for the world, and though it is really quite cold on the mall, people are being great sports, so they're just waiting it out until Mr. Obama takes the stage.
NPR's Irva Gunja, part of our Tell Me More team. She's out on the National Mall. Thank you, Irva. Stay warm.
Thank you, Michelle.
And a special programming note, if you're listening outside the Washington area and are unable to get to see things here firsthand, we have got you covered. Tell Me More's team of producers are scattered throughout the area, capturing sights from around the morning's activities. Today on our website, Lee Hill, our digital media guy, is live blogging from the campus of Howard University, a leading historically black college here in Washington, which is contributing a marching band to today's inaugural parade. He's posted there with students and alumni, capturing their reaction to today's events. Also, as you just heard, we have producers gathering stories and perspectives from the National Mall as the hundreds of thousands are gathering to witness Barack Obama sworn in as the 44th President of the United States. Go to our blog at npr.org. Click on Tell Me More for more on today's historic happenings.